This is the Women's Protection and Empowerment Podcast, where we give space to talking about women and girls in humanitarian settings. At International Rescue Committee, we deliver innovative programs focused on preventing and responding to violence against women and girls. We are in pursuit of a world where women and girls live free from violence as valued and respected members of their community. This movement is about equitable access to opportunities.
Empowering women and girls means a lot for development of the next generation, and it's important for the development of a country.
It's about catalysts for change.
Women and girls are not just the faces of poverty. They're also the key to overcoming.
It's about voice and respect.
The path to victory is still long, and I'm not ready to give up. This has become to me more than a work, but a passion to see women and the girls regaining what has been for long denied to them.
From IRC, this is the WPE Podcast. I'm Christy Crabtree. The humanitarian community has long realized that cash can be an asset in the recovery process for many different groups. And that includes when it's integrated into protection programming for GBV survivors. Yet very few humanitarian service providers practice this. IRC was one of the first to do so. And today a Jordan-based colleague will share her expertise and experience. We'll talk about program design choices in the context of the evolving women's protection and empowerment programming and the changing context for GBV survivors. I'm so excited to welcome our guest today. Dina, go ahead, introduce yourself.
Hi, everyone. This is Dina Arefe from Jordan Country Program. I'm the Women's Protection and Empowerment Coordinator.
Dina, let's start off. Can you tell us about the Women's Protection and Empowerment Program in Jordan and how it's evolved since the beginning of the Syria response?
I would like to talk about the IRC Jordan Country Program that aims to helping people whose lives are affected by the conflict and disaster, so those people can survive, recover, and gain control of their future, focusing as well on supporting and empowering women and girls to respond to the gender-based violence. Now, here in Jordan, the Women's Protection and Empowerment Program provides gender-based violence prevention and response services in different locations in Jordan, so different cities such as Mafraq, Irbed, Ramtha, East Amman, and Zarqa through partners. Services are being provided in the women and girls safe spaces, which are female-only spaces that offer survivors of violence a safe place to disclose abuse and receive confidential, practical, emotional support and gender-based violence case management. Safe spaces are equipped to welcome the elderly and persons with disabilities as well. Services are also in the community-based organizations in person. And due to pandemic of the COVID-19, the Women's Protection and Empowerment uses the mixed modality approach of online and in-person service provision. The services that we provide with WPE, Women's Protection Empowerment, is the GBV case management, individual and group counseling, and a different number of activities that I would like to talk more later on.
A really comprehensive program you have there. One of the key components of this is using cash for protection and specifically to support GBV prevention and response to help survivors in their path to recovery. Can you talk to us about why this is included and how cash can help address the needs of survivors?
The most important point is that linking the cash assistance with the comprehensive gender-based violence case management, because cash for protection is very important, and given the importance of the provision of cash assistance to GBV survivors, IRC provides regular cash for protection, emergency cash assistance, and legal cash assistance to those in need to protect them from harm or to support access to legal documentation. Now, with these services, the survivors are given space to access available services, to have some financial independence, and to meet their basic needs. In addition, demand for cash assistance has increased due to COVID-19. As living conditions and economic stability worsened, cash assistance is integrated with the psychosocial support, the PSS services, aiming to supporting women and girls through the provision of legal services and cash for legal documentation. Direct legal counseling that is paired with cash for legal documentation and disseminate legal information in local communities where they focus on early marriage, cybercrime, the importance of the official documentations and human rights. Now, the legal officers coordinate with other legal service providers such as ARDD and JCLA to provide protection services free of charge, including legal representation. The legal fees vary based on the case itself. So, for instance, some court fees would be up to $10, while others can reach up to $1,500. The beneficiaries benefit from the legal services based on the legal officer's assessments and the needed court cases. The legal officers go to the court, pay for the fees with official court documentations in return. And of course, to maintain confidentiality, IRC seeks the beneficiary's consent before making any step, as the GBV survivors must be part of the safety plan and to avoid causing more harm, which is a big part of the case management services that we provide.
So thinking about some of the people that might be listening to this podcast, they're probably considering adding a cash component, or they're at least curious about adding this to their GBV response services. Could you walk us through some of the design choices you made in that process and why those were needed and appropriate for your context? I think what might be helpful for listeners is decisions that you made around modality, delivery mechanisms, transfer value, duration, referrals. Basically, tell us everything.
Absolutely. What is we currently doing right now is the provision of the three types, the emergency cash assistance, the legal cash assistance, and the regular cash assistance. And it is designed this way as it is. So if we're talking about the emergency cash assistance, it is unconditional cash assistance, which the GBV survivors need. Cannot, of course, specify or limit the GBV survivors' needs as they differentiate from one case to another based on the severity of the case and based on the assessment of the counselors. If we want to talk about the delivery mechanism, the delivery mechanism varies from one type to another. So if we want to talk about the regular cash assistance, it's either by hand to the beneficiaries or through ATM cards. For the emergency cash assistance, it is usually cash in hand, so we don't put the survivors at more harm with the perpetrator. While the legal cash assistance is paid to the court or to the landlord or loaner, so to the person who needs money from the beneficiary, and this service is not being directly provided to the beneficiary themselves, rather than to pay for the court landlord or the loaner. The duration, Christy, is based on the severity of the case. For instance, the emergency cash assistance is within 48 hours because as it's called, it is emergency and it cannot wait. While the regular cash assistance is ideally for 6 months, the legal cash assistance is, however, based on the duration of the court and the procedures.
What about referrals? Do you accept referrals for cash assistance in this case, or how does referrals work when it comes to cash?
Absolutely. We do receive referrals from all the service providers, including the governmental entities and the other INGOs, NGOs, and CBOs. So in that way, we can reach out to a more number of beneficiaries and to be assessed either by the IRC or if they were assessed by a case management agency.
I love that this has not just a one-size-fits-all model for cash assistance. You have a lot of different ways this can work depending on what the kind of profile and needs of the survivor are. I want to talk about another aspect of this, which is that you utilize a partnership model. And I think that's really exciting given how much this sector is moving more towards a local partnership. So I'm wondering if you could talk a little bit about how you're partnering with local organizations and NGOs, and why is that a really important part of the cash assistance program?
With the partnership approach, the IRC focuses on working and collaborating with the local NGOs and CBOs, community-based organizations, as a commitment to localization and sustainability of the long-term interventions and gender transformative change in local communities. Now, IRC recognizes the collaborative partnerships with civil society actors that can deliver more effective, responsive, and durable assistance that reaches more people and produces better outcomes for the communities that we serve. In addition, partnerships with the government ministries and municipalities can have an enormous impact on service delivery and influence policy, resulting in enduring structural changes. The referral pathway is activated in Jordan, where any service provider refers the GBV cases to the concerned agencies. There's a referral pathway system and regular meetings to keep it updated. We also rely on the introduction sessions in the coordination meetings to inform others of our services.
Really just comprehensive in every kind of aspect of this. What are some of the things you hear from providers and also from survivors themselves about the program, both in terms of successes and challenges they've faced?
Over the last year, IFC has reached around 58,000 women and girls who benefited from different services, including protection, health, economic recovery, and early childhood development. The challenges varied between beneficiaries being able to access the available services due to the restrictions from the spouse or the male partner. Stigma, of course, towards gender-based violence, attitudes, and society's acceptance for some vulnerable communities. What we have done as WPE, we have adapted the delivery model by using the mixed approach of in-person and online service delivery. As most of the gender-based violence survivors were and still cannot access the centers because of the reasons that we have just mentioned, such as the stigma and the restrictions from the spouse. Now, another reason is the defense law that states no children under 16 years old who can access public locations. Therefore, women prefer to stay at home and benefit from the services so they can make sure that their children are safe. Another method that we use so we can continue reaching out to the beneficiaries is shifting the working hours of the counselors to give more space for the survivors for the online services when the partner is not around. Another challenge is the ability to keep support GBV survivors and vulnerable communities for longer term periods. So meaning the cash assistance is, yes, very important, critical to save the survivors from the risk. However, it cannot last for a very long time. And this is a feedback that we have received from the beneficiaries, that cash assistance is supporting them being away from the imminent risk right now, but they are looking forward to having long-term solutions. What would really help is supporting and linking survivors with the livelihood opportunities so they can have more financial stability.
I'm curious about, you know, you've talked about this long-term support, which I think is really interesting. You know, looking at this kind of provision of cash on a spectrum, a survivor's healing process, do you see that referral to livelihoods as something that's becoming a more common component of that, of their pathway, or is that something that's still very new?
We as Women Protection Empowerment and Economic Recovery Development, ERD, both the programs with IRC, we do have and implement the integrated approach of gender-based violence survivors so they can benefit from the livelihood courses and opportunities. And based on the economic recovery development criteria, perhaps business awards are being provided as well. Now, however, this cannot include all survivors, unfortunately, as not all of them have the skills to run businesses. And this is something that we need to focus on by building their business and management skills.
I'm curious how you set up such a lovely partnership between the Women's Protection Empowerment Programming and our economic recovery and development programming, because sometimes that's not easy to do, that cross-sectoral work, but it seems like you have really done this in a very integrated way and a way that makes sense for survivors. Can you talk a little bit about how you made that work?
So one of the very important things that we have done together is being at the same location in all the locations that we work at. So the survivor would have easier access to the services at one place. Now, every woman and girl safe space has the ERD, the Economic Recovery Development colleagues, available at any time. So the referrals between the two programs is very smooth and easy, where the beneficiary can come to one place, and in that way you support the survivors of the cost, you know, of the transportation. Because most of the survivors, their spouses allow them to come to the center because it is only a safe space for women and girls. So no men are allowed. And the ERD staff is very supportive as well for this idea, where they give the beneficiary the option of being provided with the services, either with a male staff or with a female staff. So that's one approach. Another approach that we use is the internal coordination meetings with the ERD to make sure that all the referred cases are either engaged in the business courses or if they have the skills to be provided with a business award as well.
That's amazing to hear. So you've given us some tips on partnerships, on cross-sectoral work. Let's look at the humanitarian community, talking about donors, governments, and implementing agencies and organizations. What can they all be doing to help advance this type of work, cash for protection, and specifically looking at GBV prevention and response?
What we can do all is focusing on the more of inclusion of all the vulnerable communities, and not only focusing on one group of refugees, but rather include all the refugees, all the vulnerable communities that need support, especially for the gender-based violence concerns and issues, as well as being very flexible when it comes to supporting beneficiaries that are not mentioned, let's say, in the proposal, but to look at them from the humanitarian aspect.
If we had a donor listening to this episode, is there something specifically that they should be funding, or are you talking about cash for lots of programs, not just GBV prevention and response? Mm-hmm. Is that your kind of call for donors, or is there something else that you'd ask donors to do to support this?
I would ask them for the support as well of having long-term solutions for the gender-based violence survivors for all nationalities, not only specifying one or two nationalities. And they emphasizing on the importance of linking the cash assistance with the case management, as cash assistance does not help by itself. It has to be linked with the specialized and comprehensive case management services. And it's all about, you know, the advocacy for the government by the donors to include more refugees, more immigrants, like everyone who really needs the services, not only the GBV, but all services in general.
Yeah, I think there's a lot of room for cash in a lot of different programs to kind of infuse or leverage or advance progress mm-hmm. that someone's making towards any kind of recovery process, be that GBV or other types of sectors where, you know, any kind of clients, as you mentioned, not just a typical humanitarian client, but also in host communities, there's a lot of room for benefit in that. I'm thinking a little bit about any listeners that are just starting to think about infusing cash into their GBV response or prevention programming. What's the first step that you would recommend that they take, or a couple of first steps?
I would really recommend the very strong coordination with the monitoring and evaluation department, the cash unit. So having a really strong system that supports you and support the beneficiaries of receiving the service in a very transparent and smooth way. I would also recommend having the caseworkers, case managers, or counselors really well trained on the comprehensive case management approach, as well as the survivor-centered approach, so we don't cause more harm. Another thing is the importance of conducting the post-distribution monitoring. So you make sure that the impact is being measured, the service is being delivered as well. And another thing that as IRC that we do is having something called the gender discussion groups, which is a service that we provide after the distribution of the regular cash assistance. So the gender discussion in groups is, you know, a number of sessions that include the survivor who was benefited from the cash assistance, along with her male partner or the head of the household. It is a very structured participatory process of reflection on their experiences, attitudes, and behaviors in relation to the household economic decision making, with the objective of reducing tension and risk of intimate partner violence, the IPV, and increasing the equitable decision-making to increase women's access to and control of economic resources. That would be my recommendation for a very successful cash assistance, as well as the importance of the post-distribution monitoring run by a neutral party, which is the MEEL, the Monitoring and Evaluation Team.
I think what you've created, what you've talked about today, is a really holistic approach, Dina. So kudos to you on that, and also for creating a real learning culture around this, because it sounds like you didn't just start using cash in protection for GBV survivors. You've also learned throughout the process and made adjustments and revisions to make this more and more comprehensive and holistic. So thanks for coming to share about that. I have one last question for you, which is there anything else you would like our listeners to know or do about this, given all the learning that you've had over the time that you've been doing this? Is there anything else that you would really love to leave a lasting impression on?
Thank you very much, Christy, and thank you for this opportunity to talk about the importance of linking the cash assistance with the case management. There's something that I would emphasize on is the importance of the comprehensive case management services for the survivors and women and girls who are at risk of the gender-based violence. And I would like to also emphasize that vulnerable communities are having a really hard time to accessing the available services. And this is something that we as humanitarian actors should focus more on by the outreach component, so we can reach more people who are really in need for the case management services.
I love that message of safety that comes throughout your approach to cash as well. If we look at the recovery process for survivors of gender-based violence, it's complicated, with potentially many different needs to be addressed. And cash is one input into that process. The example from Jordan shows it can be integrated into GBV case management as one of many comprehensive components. In particular, when a survivor experiences financial barriers to the recovery or when there are economic drivers of GBV. IRC and its partners, increasingly local partners, will continue to innovate the use of cash within GBV prevention and response. Building out GBV programming that integrates cash is key, but the resourcing, capacity building, and evidence building aspects of this work need to go hand in hand. So thank you, Dina, for joining us today.
Thank you very much, Christy.
And be on the lookout for another episode that dovetails onto this one that gets right at Dina's point about how cash can be used with vulnerable groups in GBV prevention and response. Thanks again for joining. Safety, voice, respect. Join the WPE movement.